From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Trade Ministry works to make 157 public markets safe. Pleas for Australians to take up mental health services amid coronavirus lockdowns. Now the news in details. The Ministry of Trade will provide protective gear and set up disinfection chambers at 157 markets in 6 provinces of Indonesia, including Jakarta, West Java, Central Java, East Java, Banten, and Yogyakarta Special Region, escorted by Antaranus Agency, Minister of Trade Agus Suparmanto in a video conference held on Wednesday in Jakarta explained, to stem the spread of COVID-19 pandemic, the Ministry of Trade will give aid in the form of health facilities to public markets, including setting up disinfection chambers and handing out hand sanitizers, masks, and gloves that will be prioritized for sellers and buyers. Especially in DKI Jakarta, the Ministry will provide such aid to 20 public markets, including the Kramat Jati Market. Furthermore, in order to raise awareness about handling COVID-19, the Ministry of Trade will create a Trade Ministry Care Task Force to collect donation from all workers and general public. At least 98 of more than 500 foreign nationals monitored by the Indonesian government as part of efforts to contain coronavirus transmissions have tested positive for the disease. Escorted by Antaranus Agency, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, in a virtual press conference on Wednesday explained that the Indonesian Foreign Ministry has been communicating with embassies of foreign citizens diagnosed with COVID-19 and informing them of their condition. Marsudi did not reveal the countries of origins of infected foreigners. She said 306 of the foreign nationals were under monitoring, 144 others had fully recovered from the coronavirus, and 15 had died. As of April 29, 2020, the government has recorded 9,771 confirmed COVID-19 cases across the country, while 1,391 patients have been discharged from hospital after making full recovery. 7,596 others remain hospitalized. The death toll from the virus has been recorded at 784. The increase in mental health issues during the coronavirus outbreak was expected, and Prime Minister Scott Morrison said investment had been made to support the services. Nuka Kusumawati has the details. Calls to mental health service have increased since the outbreak of coronavirus, but with physical visits to support services dropping due to social distancing rules, Australians are not taking advantage of the extra services now available to them. Authorities are now urging people to make use of the resource available over the phone and online. Mental health service are part of $1.1 billion funding boost designed to protect against widespread impacts from the pandemic. 1 million telehealth mental health consultation worth $35 million had taken place since mid-March. That was stated by Prime Minister Morrison during a press conference on Wednesday in Australia.
I note that there was a $74 million package that was put in place at the early stages of the COVID-19 outbreak, And those that package of support has been rolling out across the country and has been getting very good results. 50% of mental health consultations are now being done through telehealth as a result of the telehealth changes that we have made. And 1 million telehealth mental health consultations have taken place since mid-March, and some $35 million specifically in mental health related consultations have been conducted over that period of time since telehealth was put in place.
Prime Minister added that the stay at home has been important, but it does come with an increase in anxieties and an increase in pressures on individuals, their mental stress, and that also takes a toll. That's why the Australian government prepares services to handle the issue. On the same occasion, National Health Commission CEO Christine Morgan said people need to reach out on mental health online services.
We did come into this scenario, we did come into COVID-19 with mental health challenges, many of us. We did come in with mental illness. You do still need to contact your mental health services. You can do it now on through telehealth, you can do it through the digital services, but part of getting through this whole crisis is that we actually address our mental health and our well-being. So reach out. We will continue to do that.
Christine Morgan added that last month, Beyond Blue received $10 million Australian dollars from a $75 million Australian dollars federal mental health package for the dedicated mental health support service. It offers free information, counselling and referrals online and over the phone. Resources at Head to Health were boosted at the end of March, and the website had seen an enormous spike in visit. The website brings together a range of applications, online programs, online forums, and resources in one location. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson on Wednesday became a father again when his partner Carrie Simmons gave birth to a baby boy, just weeks after he himself was hospitalized with coronavirus. As quoted by FP.com, the news came as a surprise, as Simmons, 32 years old, was not thought to be due for several weeks. But both she and the baby were said to be doing very well. The couple were recently confronted with the realities of the COVID-19 pandemic up close after both contracted the potentially deadly virus. Johnson, 55 years old, only returned to work on Monday after being hospitalized, including 3 nights in intensive care, which he later said could have gone either way. Simmons, a former head of communication for the Conservative Party, also reported having symptoms, although she recovered at home. 2 months after the US and the Taliban signed a deal Washington heralded as the way to end Afghanistan's war, violence is spiraling out of control, an expert says a fragile peace process risks collapse. As quoted by AFP.com, dozens of Afghan security forces and Taliban fighters have been dying almost daily, with civilian casualties rising across the country as both sides ramped up operations. The insurgents have been emboldened by a deal that gives them many concessions in exchange for a few commitments, fueling their surge of attacks in recent weeks. The timing could hardly be worse, as Afghanistan also grapples with the coronavirus epidemic. Researchers at the Overseas Development Institute, Ashley Jackson, said the peace process isn't dead yet, but it is on life support. The brutal economic impact of the coronavirus deepened Wednesday with dire news from the United States and Germany, increasing pressures worldwide to ease lockdowns and reduce the cost of the pandemic. As quoted by AFP.com, countries around the globe are balancing fears of the worst global recessions for a century against the risk that lifting restrictions too fast will cause a second wave of the virus that has already killed 214,000 people. But with the United Nations warning that half the global workforce risks having their livelihoods destroyed, and the United States announcing a dramatic end to a decade of growth, the economic pain caused by the outbreak is mounting by the day. The aviation industry also unveiled grim new tidings of the damage caused by worldwide travel bans aimed at halting the spread of a disease that has infected 3 million people worldwide. BBC Russian has uncovered the possible identity of one of the suspects in the case of the Malaysia Airlines flight MH17, shut down over Ukraine in 2014. Escorted by BBC.com, investigators' papers refer to a high-ranking Eastern Ukraine commander as Vladimir Ivanovich. The BBC has learned this could be Colonel General Andrei Burlaka, a senior Russian Secret Service official. Russia has repeatedly denied any involvement in the shooting down of the aircraft, which killed 298 people. BBC Russian had audio recordings professionally analyzed to help identify General Burlaka. Investigative team Bellingcat also independently concluded that General Burlaka could be Vladimir Ivanovich. General Burlaka would be the highest-ranking Russian identified as a possible suspect in the ongoing investigation into the crash. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Welcome back, listener. Here is commentary for today entitled Mitigating Food Scarcity and Crisis Potentials Due to the COVID-19 Pandemic. Food supplies issue in Indonesia recently became a serious matter along with the uncertainty of when COVID-19 pandemic will end. Moreover, Indonesia is celebrating Ramadan and then Idul Fitri, where people's need for basic food will increase. President Joko Widodo, an opening limited meeting through video conference in Jakarta on Tuesday, recorded that there are deficits in basic food need in various places in the country. The biggest deficit is sugar and garlic. He also said that currently the sugar deficit is happening in 30 provinces. The other commodities experiencing deficit are eggs in 22 provinces, rice in 7 provinces, and corn in 11 provinces. Food authority, both regional and central government, must find solution to prevent this food scarcity from happening too long. In this condition, it is not easy for Indonesia to import food. Many food-producing countries limit or even close certain commodity export to ensure that their domestic stock is fulfilled. World's biggest wheat-producing countries like Russia, Kazakhstan, and Ukraine frankly announced export of wheat seed. Vietnam and Thailand did the same, but in this case for rice. Despite of being the greatest rice source in Southeast Asia, they still need to secure domestic supply. Government must ensure basic food production runs well, and the supply is secure during COVID-19 pandemic. From many options, government saw giving incentive to the farmers as most important and urgent. Joko Widodo's government decision to give 600,000 rupiah incentive per month for farmers was right for current condition, so that the farmers can boost their productions amid COVID-19 pandemic. The incentive will encourage the farmers to keep their performance and productivity so that the food supply in the country will still be guaranteed. Besides direct cash assistance, governments must buy farmers' products. This was done by U.S. government through U.S. Department of Agriculture or USDA. Recently, USDA has quoted from www.usda.gov, allocated $19 billion for direct cash assistance to farmers and ranchers, as well as for purchasing their food products. USDA also brought fruit, vegetables, meat, milk, and many products from farmers, then helped the packaging and distributing to food banks. Listener, that was commentary for today. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, meet again with me, Ahmad Faisal, in our regular program, Today in History, over the Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on April 30, 1945, when Adolf Hitler died. Adolf Hitler was a German politician and head of Nazi Party, who was born in Austria. He had been officiated as German Chancellor since 1933 until 1945. Hitler became the main figure of Nazi at World War II in Europe and Holocaust.
On April 30, 1945, after a fierce battle and ahead of defeat against the Soviet army, Hitler and his wife Eva Braun committed suicide. Braun took a bite of the cyanide capsule and Hitler shot himself. The next event is that in 1980, Queen of the Dutch, Juliana, handed over the throne to her daughter, Beatrix. Queen Juliana Louis Marien Wilhelmina van Orange-Nassau, who was born in The Hague on April 30, 1909, was the Queen of the Dutch Kingdom from September 6, 1948 and until April 30, 1980. She handed over the throne on her 71st birthday to her oldest daughter, Beatrix. Juliana got married with Bernhard Jur-Lippe Biesterfeld, a German noble, on January 7, 1937, and has four kids, namely Beatrix, Irene, Margaret, and Marietje. Then her name was changed to be Christina. Queen Juliana ascended throne replacing her mother, Wilhelmina. Queen Juliana visited Indonesia in 1972. Although she resigned from political world, she was active in social field until 1995. The last event is that in 2001, Maladi passed away. R. Maladi was known as sport figure. Actually, he was known as Minister of Sport in 1962 until 1967, even though previously he was officiated as Minister of Information in 1959 until 1962. The figure was born in Solo on August 30, 1912. He was young and he was a goalkeeper. He was also officiated as chairman of Indonesian Football Association, replacing Suratin. His selection as the chairman of the Indonesian Football Association until his appointment as Minister of Sport by President Sukarno was to view his greatness and love to Indonesian sport. When becoming Minister of Sport, Maladi had brilliant ideas to sport improvement, especially football. Towards Asian Games 1 in New Delhi, India, Maladi brought in foreign trainer to handle Indonesian national football team, namely Cho Seong-Koo from Singapore and Tony Pogacnik from Yugoslavia. Maladi passed away on April 30, 2001 due to illness. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Ku ingin tahu, kau harus mau. Ku ingin kau begitu, agar kau tahu. Jadilah engkau milikku selalu, untukku. Tanpa tersentuh, cuma aku. Bila ku mati, kau juga mati. Walau tak ada cinta sehidup semati, jadilah engkau milikku selalu. Tanpa tersentuh, mengapaku mengapa aku begini jangan kau pertanyakan bila ku mati kau juga mati walau tak ada cinta sehidup semati
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Today's My Indonesia title, 3,000 forest farmers receive long-distance learning amid COVID-19 outbreak. Director General of Social Forestry and Suprianto in Monday, April 27, said that the distance learning of social forestry, e-learning, was carried out for 100 groups involving 3,000 forest farmers or companions during the COVID-19 pandemic. The training was officially opened by the Minister of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya, and Chairperson of the House of Representatives Commission for Sudin for 7 locations, namely at the Center for Education and Training, the Environment and Forestry Training Center, Education and Training Center of Bogor, Kupang, Aitnali, Samarinda, and Makassar. The distance learning in the assistance of social forestry in the field during the pandemic and the Ministry of Environment and Forestry implemented as a post-licensed social forestry assistant training. This activity is carried out in collaboration with the Human Resources Extension and Development Agency and the Directorate General of Social Forestry and the Environmental Partnership of the Ministry of Environment and Forestry. The 25-hour training course for 4 days was carried out from 27 April to 18 of June 2020 in stages, with a target of 3,000 participants throughout Indonesia, divided into 100 groups of participants, and one batch consists of 30 participants. According to Bambang Suprianto, This training aims to continuously improve the capacity and competence of the people involved in it on an ongoing basis. This e-learning also functions for the socialization of mitigation or handling of COVID-19 to the community or social forestry groups and its assistants throughout Indonesia, social forestry acceleration working groups and non-governmental organizations, communities, as well as social forestry activities. Listener, that was my Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Jabat tanganku mungkin untuk yang terakhir kali kita berbincang tentang memori di masa itu. Peluk tubuhku, usapkan juga air mataku. Kita terharu seakan tiada bertemu lagi. Bersenang-senanglah karena hari ini yang kan kita rindukan di hari nanti, sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Bersenang-senanglah karena hari ini yang kan kita banggakan di hari tua. Oh, sampai jumpa kawanku, semoga kita selalu menjadi sebuah kisah kasih untuk masa depan. Sampai jumpa kawanku, semoga kita selalu menjadi sebuah kisah kasih untuk masa depan. Bersenang-senanglah karena hari ini yang kan kita rindukan di hari tua. Oh, sampai jumpa kawanku, semoga kita selalu menjadi sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Sampai jumpa kawanku, semoga kita selalu menjadi sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Da 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 da. Mungkin diriku masih ingin bersama kalian, mungkin jiwaku masih haus anjungan kalian.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Last Tourism Village in Bali. If you love ornamental fish, there is tourism object in Bali which interesting to visit, namely Les Pulaleng Village. And the village is located at Teja Kula District, Buleleng Regency. From Kuta through Ubud and Kintamani, this tourism village can be accessed for 3 hours by car. The village has been long time developed ornamental fish cultivation. The local people have their local wisdom by preserving the beauty of undersea. The local people of Les Pulaleng Village used net to catch ornamental fish, then using potassium to make easier in catching the fish in a large number. Unfortunately, using potassium can destroy coral reefs, so that almost 70% undersea biota of this village are damaged. Consequently, fish products decreased. Finally, local people change it by conducting fish preservation naturally and making transparency of coral reefs. Currently, ornamental fish cultivation at Les Pulaleng Village is not only attracted by local people, but also foreigners. During visiting Les Pulaleng Village, you can learn ornamental fish cultivation naturally and the way to preserve coral reefs. Les Pulaleng Village is also known as salt producing village, so you can also learn how to make salt. In this location, you can dive into. You can enjoy the beauty of coral reefs and also various kinds of colorful fish when you do diving. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Les Pulaleng Village in Bali. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
Hasratku dan cintaku, kaulah segalanya. Izinkan diriku bersamamu, karena sesungguhnya ku rindukan dekapanmu. Ku janjikan setia, berdua kita jalin
kasih dalam satu ikatan cinta. Tuhan tolong jaga dirinya di sana. Aku di sini kan menunggu hingga diriku dan dirinya indah pada. Tuhan tolong jaga dirinya di sana. Aku di sini kan menunggu hingga diriku dan dirinya indah pada.
Listeners, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miss Seleni. In today's edition, we present you information on PT Pindad creates ventilator and disinfectant Fox Cannon. Stay with us at www.voinews.id. To battle against COVID-19 pandemic in Indonesia, PT Pindad, a national weapon factory, introduces a number of newly developed products such as disinfectant and its cannon, an emergency ventilator. The ventilator is ventilator resuscitator manual or Pindad VRM and ventilator COVID-20. Its ventilator is developed by inviting team from Pindad Public Hospital and University of Indonesia. Ventilator resuscitator manual is claimed having design and simple operation. Its raw materials are from local and they are available in the market and can meet the minimum medical criteria such as tidal volume, respiratory rate, and many others. Meanwhile, ventilator COVID-20 is designed as emergency ventilator and can be transported or mobile with cycle of time and constant volume. The ventilator is designed especially for adult patients with two modes of ventilation, CPAP or oxygen therapy and CMV or respiratory failure of the patient. P. PT Pindad also introduces other innovation to face COVID-19 pandemic, such as disinfectant fog cannon, mobile sterilization chamber COVID-19, and disinfectant liquid produced by PT Pindad Engineering Indonesia, or PTPEI, subsidiary, and also personal protective equipment's product, such as face shield and glasses. Disinfectant fog cannon is liquid disinfecting machine that can be installed on motor vehicles with a burst range of up to 10 meters. PT Pindad provides three sizes which have been used by Fire and Disaster Management Agency of Bandung, West Java Province. Disinfectant fog cannon is provided in three sizes. The big one with tank volume of 1,000 liters, diameter 900 millimeters by using petrol motor drive. The medium size with tank volume of 1,000 liters, diameter 700 millimeters with electricity drive. And the small one is with tank volume of 200 liters, diameter 450 millimeters with electricity drive. Mobile sterilization chamber COVID-19 is sterilization room by spraying disinfectant vapor throughout the body. PT Pindad claims that its site does not use hazardous materials, non-alcoholic, toxic-free, and neutral pH. The use of disinfectant is also claimed to be safe. That was Miscellany for today. Thanks for listening.
Duhai cintaku, untuk kau menjadi.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. In this Ramadan edition, Music Corner presents a religious song entitled Keagungan Tuhan, sung by Rita Effendi. She is one of Indonesian top singers since 1987. Rita Effendi dedicates the song Keagungan Tuhan with solemnity. The song, which was composed by Amalik Buzaid, once popularized by Indonesian senior singer Ida Laila in her own version. From the beginning, the song Keagungan Tuhan has been recycled by around 40 musicians in Indonesia, including Drawit, Titik Sandora, Ike Nurjana, Fidi Aldiano, and Iis Dahlia in their music genre, respectively. This song invites the listener to repent and continue to do something good before the end of life. Listener, let's listen to the song Keagungan Tuhan by Rita Effendi. Enjoy the song.
Dengan tiada
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Berpisah denganmu telah membuatku semakin mengerti betapa indah saat bersama yang masih selalu ku kenang. Selamat jalan kekasih. Hidupku.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening. But stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at voiindonesia and send us email on voi@voinews.id.